Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, December 5th, 2022. Can't believe 2022 is going by so fast. We are at the last meeting of the year for the AAC. Well, we still have the subcommittee meetings. As you just heard, we are recording this meeting, so the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. Just a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you go under reactions, click on the raise hand icon. That will raise or lower your virtual hands. Just a reminder, we do have ASL interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name first and then your comments. This helps them in doing their job well. This also helps everyone on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is at the time. Anybody who would like to make some public comments, if you have sent an email or a message to us before, we have you on the list. Anybody else who would like to make some public comments, you can send a chat message to me and I will put your name on the list. Or when we begin that section, you can raise hands and we will take the comments in the order hands are received. For our presenters, if you have any visual presentation, please describe your presentation in detail for the convenience of our members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. During the public comment section, we do allow 3 minutes for each speaker. This is just a reminder, and I don't like to interrupt, but I would try and give you a 30-second heads up in advance to let you know that your time is coming up to for an end. If we have any remaining time and the speaker has any additional comments, we can surely come back to you. Chair Sheehan, would you prefer for me to take read the agenda at this point?
And then we could take the roll, and then why don't we start with the agenda? Thank you, Anu.
Sure. All right. So I would attendance of all the AAC members. Please confirm your presence when I call out your name. Azhar Atura. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabria.
Alert. Philippa.
I believe Tino is on the call with us.
Yes, I am. Okay. Am I muted or something?
I can hear you, Tino. Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Present.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsom.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semelford. Patrick Sheehan.
Present.
Thank you. Kelly Simonov. Philip Weintraub.
Present.
Thank you. That concludes the roster, the attendance for today. Chair Sheehan, would you prefer me to read the agenda out loud at this point?
Yes, that would be great. So we'll go through approval of agenda, then the minutes and board report. Thank you, Anu.
Sure. I would share my screen so that I can have the agenda visible for anyone who can see, and then I can read that as well. So we just went through the roll call. After I finished reading the agenda, the committee would go through the motion of approval of the agenda or amendment as needed, approval of prior meeting minutes, as well as the board report. At 5:40, we have a strategic planning topic to be discussed by Kimberly Feldbauer. At 6:15, we have a committee by Chair Sheehan, AAC subcommittee appointments. 6:30, we have a committee discussion about Hedinger Award 2022. At 6:45, we will take any public comments. 7 p.m., bus and rail subcommittee meeting report. 7:15, Metro Access subcommittee meeting report. And the meeting is scheduled to be adjourned at 7:30 p.m. Now I would stop sharing my screen. Chair Sheehan, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Very good. Thank you, Anu. Appreciate it. Can I have an approval for the agenda? Are there any additions to the agenda for tonight? Can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
I second. This
all
is
right. All those in favor say aye.
Audio now unmuted.
Any disapprovals or abstentions? Okay, the agenda is approved. Next up, we have the minutes for last month. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes for last month? Do I have a motion to approve?
I move.
Very good. Do I have a second?
Marcy.
Thank you, Marcy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any disapprovals or abstentions? Okay, minutes passed. Third is the board report for, we have a short time frame this month. The actual board report that I will give will be this Thursday. So we have a short board report, but very good. Do I have an approval for the board report? Motion to approve board report?
It looks fine to me, but I'm new to this, so I don't know what to expect.
Okay. Do we have a second approval for the board report?
Second.
All right. Do we have any additions or corrections? All those in favor of the board report as written, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition or abstentions? Okay. Board report is approved. Thank you. I was at the RAC last month, and they had a very excellent presentation on strategic planning. Tonight, Kimberly Feldbauer will be giving us this report. Kimberly, I think this report will talk about both the what we're expecting on the bus and rail system and some financial planning that's being talked about. Am I correct on that? Very similar to what we had at the given at the RAC last month.
It's different. So this is actually an enterprise-wide strategic transformation plan. Okay. So every 3.5 years, Metro is required to update the strategic plan. So in a concerted effort with new leadership with the GM, Randy Clark, and also, you know, coming out of a pandemic and, you know, understanding that mobility patterns have changed and the needs of the region are shifting and how we can react to that to offer the best service. We are working hand in hand with the board to develop the strategic transformation plan. So that's what I'll be covering today, which is a progress update on the draft plan, and looking for, you know, want to brief you all on where we are in the process, but also get your feedback on some of the initiatives and metrics that we're identifying to help us achieve the goals and objectives of the plan that I'll lay out.
Very good. Well, I look forward to this report. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Is it mine to start sharing or?
Yes, go ahead. We're good. Okay, thank
great.
You.
And I did, and apologies. I'll pull the new kid card at Metro still. I'm, you know, 4 months today. And so I sent a accessible version of this slide deck to Mr. Blake and Anu, I think. So, but as I'm going through it, I will, you know, I'll share a screen so you can see the presentation, and I'll do my best to be very detailed of what I'm sharing. So, but if at any point, feel free to interrupt me if you have any clarifying questions or comments. This is meant to, you know, evoke discussion. I'll, you know, go through some slides, but mostly want to have a discussion with you all and get your feedback.
Great. As long as you can on these slides, as long as you can be descriptive on what's on these slides, myself and there's other people here who are visually impaired, that Absolutely. Makes a huge difference. Thanks.
Absolutely. Okay. And for those of you that can see, can you see my screen? Am I sharing it correctly?
Yes, yeah. We can see it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you for having me, first of all. And thank you for the introduction. My name is Kimmy Falbar, and managing the strategic planning effort for the organization. So I work in the general manager's office and work in collaboration with the entire organization. So from our frontline staff to our executive team, you know, and the board, we are working hand in hand to develop this strategic plan to identify a North Star, if you will, for the organization. And so this first slide is just, it's a cover slide, and it has the formal name of the plan that we've come up with the board, and it's called Your Metro, The Way Forward. It's Metro Strategic Transformation Plan. So the next slide, it talks through what the strategic transformation plan is. The staff and community input is shaping a robust customer-centric strategic transformation plan that will be adopted in winter in 2023. Ultimately, this will guide long-term strategy and day-to-day decision-making for Metro over the next 5+ years. And, you know, and another silver lining of us underway with this effort is that, and since I'm new and the general manager is new, we weren't aware that per our dedicated funding agreement with the state of Virginia or Commonwealth of Virginia, we have to update the strategic plan every 3.5 years and hold a public hearing in Virginia to maintain that funding. And so the timing was great. We have until June, and we're, you know, hoping to finalize this in early 2023. But also, you know, I want to note that that is also part of this effort. And so I, on the screen, I have the elements that are in the blue and green boxes that surround the circle, which is the strategic transformation plan. It has ongoing arrows to indicate that this is an effort that is, you know, not ending. It's Tino, I see you have a question.
Yes. For example, you have in the circle there surveys. How does that jibe with the survey that has just been completed regarding the better bus redesign?
Sure, yeah, let me get into that here in just a second. And so the arrows indicate that this strategic transformation plan is an iterative process, and the elements surrounding that circle are the input that has gone into developing this. So for surveys, you know, we solicited surveys with our customers, both existing riders, lapsed risers, people that have never ridden Metro services, our staff. We want to survey them to, you know, have a baseline understanding of, you know, their sentiment toward Metro, how often they're using it, and then also from an employment perspective, like how they feel as employees at Metro. The next element is performance data. So we were looking at performance data both historically and understanding other performance data that we could refine or reform to help report and basically reflect how Metro is doing and how where we can see gaps and how we can improve. Social media data is the next element, and that is really doing a digital sentiment scrape, if you will, while acknowledging that the internet can sometimes be an echo chamber. It is helpful to understand that people's perception and how they share their ideas on the internet really shape other people's perception of Metro. And so it's important for us to understand that so that we can have a baseline to track against. Interviews, we've conducted, that's the next element on the screen. So we conducted one-on-one interviews with all of the board members and then also our senior executive team. And then we did a solid sample of interviews from people throughout the entire organization. So operators, janitors, data analysts, construction workers, and so on. The next element is community forums. So we've held, Anu, go ahead.
Kimberly, if you could you please expand your slides so that they're on full screen? That would be helpful. Thank you.
Is that better?
No change.
Let me try again.
Yep, unshared. Okay.
All right.
On the bottom taskbar, you'll see it. There's a box on the bottom taskbar that if you click it, it'll go full screen.
Right. I think because I was sharing the window, not the, I wasn't scared sharing my screen. I was just sharing the software. Let me try this again. Sorry, I don't use Zoom very often.
Would you like me to do that? Would you like me to share?
I think I'm going to get it here. Is that better?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. All right, thank you for letting me know. Okay, so community forums was the next element that was input for the strategic transformation plan. We had several town halls. The GM and other executive team and senior team were out at bus stations and rail platforms, talking to customers, understanding their experience in the moment, but also what the relationship was to Metro, however long they've lived here and used the service, and also like what their expectations are for Metro moving forward and how we can do better. We've conducted several workshops, which is the next element listed on the screen. So we held, a workshop with the board of directors. We also held a workshop with the senior management team. And then we had two follow-up workshops with both the senior executive team and the board together to, really change the dynamic of, working together in a collaborative effort toward, moving Metro forward. And so it's been really great to see, just the active leadership on both sides and changing how we move forward as an organization. And that's been really critical in the development of this plan. And then the next element for input was prior studies and reports. So you wanted to look at other strategic plans and other planning efforts that have been done before at Metro to understand, where are we with the goals that we identified, objectives that we've identified in the past, and not necessarily needing to recreate the wheel, but wanting to just understand where we're at. And then also staff forums. So we've had several town halls. The GM and other senior staff have been out to all of the different facilities to meet one-on-one and with large groups of our frontline staff, our administrative staff, to talk through, organizational priorities, but also have some really sincere listening sessions from our staff to hear how they feel about Metro. All right, let's see. No, I lost my. Okay. On the next slide is strategic transformation plan, establishing Metro's North Star. And so here we have what the mission is, which is what we do as an organization, and that is your Metro connecting you to possibilities. With the board, we've identified what the vision is, which is where we're going as an organization. And that vision is the region's trusted way to move more people safely and sustainably. And some goals that were identified, which are priorities to achieve this vision, are service excellence, regional opportunity and partnership, sustainability, and talented teams. And so I'll go over those in more detail in a couple slides, but wanted to just lay that out here in the forefront. And then also to the right of the screen, you see kind of a pinwheel or a pie shape. And this is reflecting our core values as an organization. So at the foundation of this all, you know, we don't want to identify safety as a goal. Like everything that we do is safety. Our service that we deliver is safe. And so that's how we, you know, came about to identify the core values. And those five core values are safe, equity focused, customer centric, ethical, and innovative. The next slide is community stakeholder engagement extends across four phases, but it starts and ends with listening to customers, community, and Metro staff. So there's a graph on the page that breaks up a timeline that is, you know, extending across four different phases. In August and September, when we kicked off this process, we, you know, that was effectively our listening sessions. We wanted to hear what matters to the community, to our staff, to our board. So understanding the needs, and then ensuring that as we're, you know, kind of drafting the architecture of this plan, making sure that it will address current and future needs and that we have realistic baselines for us to measure progress against. So in the fall and through this season right now, you know, we're starting to play back what was said and get feedback on the plan. So what we're doing here today, we're starting to share emerging plan that is addressing the express needs. And then we're doing this in a transparent way, including the starting point. So being really, you know, open about, you know, some of the survey results that we received were not great. You know, I think people's, you know, satisfaction was lower than we anticipated. And so I think this, you know, while it might be sometimes hard to digest or see, you know, so many people here working so hard for this organization. And that really just helps us see where we need to go to meet the needs of the community. In January and February is the next phase of this stakeholder engagement, where we plan to share the plan, finalize the plan, and start to socialize it and create that path forward. And so that means we'll be holding the public hearing and then also taking it to the board, a final version of this plan to the board for adoption in late February. And then afterwards, in 2023 and onwards, the next few years, you know, I go back to this being an iterative process. So while we identified these, you know, initial goals, objectives, and initiatives, we want to start implementing those and then also changing the way and the cadence in which we measure and report on progress and progress initiatives against the goals and objectives. So how are we framing our board meetings to make sure that we're conveying to the board and to the public the goals and objectives that we've laid forth and what we're doing as an organization to meet those? And, you know, we're not perfect. We're not expecting to, you know, to be 100% on all of these goals. But I think that, you know, if we start somewhere and start to share, you know, we want to be better, then we will achieve that. And so that will be an ongoing process over the next few years. The next slide, this is the four goals that I briefed on earlier. And the text on top says that the data and stakeholder input led to four goals and supporting objectives to achieve Metro's vision. So, you know, we worked hand in hand with the board to identify what the mission and vision is for the organization, but we really used data and stakeholder input to identify and develop these goals. So they didn't just, you know, come out of, you know, a plan generator. But we landed on the first goal being service excellence. And that means we are going to deliver safe, reliable, convenient, and enjoyable service for all of our customers. The next goal is regional opportunity and partnership. That means we're going to design transit service to move more people and connect a growing region. Our next goal is sustainability. So how will we manage our resources responsibly to achieve a sustainable operating, capital, and environmental model? And note that this goal, the sustainability goal, is looked at through two different lenses. So the sustainability from a financial perspective, but also sustainability from an environmental model. And then our last goal that we have identified is talented teams. Metro, as I'm sure you're aware, is full of really, really smart individuals. And we want to maximize that. So how do we continue to attract, develop, and retain top talent where individuals feel valued, supported, and proud of their contributions as employees at Metro. Got that one. All right, so the overview, this next slide is the overview of goal and objective metrics. And there's a lot of text on the screen, and I won't go into it in detail. How I'll describe it is that, you know, we've developed this table that is really the meat of this plan. So we it's divided into four columns, and each column is a goal. So we have the service excellence goal, talent to teams goal, regional opportunity and partnerships goal, and sustainability goal. And then the rows below, we have the high level, what is the metric that we're using to measure our progress for the goal overall? And so, for instance, service excellence, that goal will be met when customer satisfaction across all modes, so Metro Access, Metro Bus, Metro Rail, is increased. So we have those surveys where we collected data. We're going to continue to survey our community with pulse checks. We have a really great customer research team that is, you know, surveying. And I know, Tina, you had a question about the Butterbus survey. So, you know, everything that we do, we need the community's input. And I know that that can feel overwhelming sometimes when you're getting so many surveys and so many questions. But for a service that is as integral as Metro is to this region, and as important as to move people, we want to make sure that this is the community's system that they are driving and directing. And so it's really critical that we are coming to you a lot. So I appreciate all the work that you all do for this committee, but also as our customers. And then drilling down into a little bit more of the details, we have the metrics that we'll be using for each objective. So under service excellence, you know, what are ways that we will increase customer satisfaction? Well, if we have better on-time performance, so we can measure that. We can, if we're delivering higher percentage of planned service, like, we will achieve that goal. So being able to measure all of this, and we do currently, and also have the ability to measure more. And then also back to the transparency piece, like, how are we showing that? So when we do measure it, how are we reporting that progress? How are we reporting those results, whether it's through our board reports or it's through new dashboards that we're creating for an app or for the internet for our website. That's the way that we will show this, and open to, you know, to feedback on better ways to communicate that to our community. But the rest, you know, are just kind of more details. And this is not a comprehensive list, and will be an ongoing iterative list as we move forward. But it was really important that we ground ourselves as an organization into, okay, everything that we're doing has to funnel up through one of these goals. And if it doesn't, then what are we doing? Because it's not what we need to do as an organization to move people. So I'll touch highly on the top level metrics. So for talented teams, the metric that will be used to measure is that staff perception of WMATA is a great place to work. So we have, you know, we did our surveys and we have those numbers of what they are now for our baseline. And we want to do probably biannual surveys of our staff to see what that perception is. And so when that's increasing, we know we're doing a good job, and those numbers are telling us where we need to work better. And so, you know, for instance, we have silos in the organization, or we have redundancies in the organization, and that is great content for us to focus on and actively make better. Then for regional opportunity and partnership, WMATA ridership, pretty simple there. We just want to increase ridership. We want more people using the service. We want to have more people to feel like they have access to the service. And so there are a lot of metrics that drill down into more objectives that help us to achieve that goal. And then sustainability, again, from the two different lenses, we have a financial lens and also environmental lens. So looking at the percentage of projected service funded, what is our percentage of capital plan funded? What's our deviation to budget? These are all mechanisms and measurements that metrics that we can report out on. And then also our greenhouse gas reduction. I think, you know, a lot of people, we all, you know, using transit as a potential solution to some, you know, climate change results. So, but how can we convey that to people that are not climate scientists? I'm not, so I need it to be, you know, translated into more digestible information. So how can we take those measurements that we have and report them out to the community better? And then this next slide is an overview of preliminary initiatives. So, you know, with hand in hand with the board, we, you know, identified the goals and objectives, but now it's, you know, up to staff to, you know, come up with a list of initiatives that they can implement to help achieve those goals and objectives. So again, we have each of the goals into the four columns and then just, you know, list of initiatives that we will aim to implement in the next couple of years. And some of them will be achieved in the next 6 to 18 months, some of them in the next 2 to 5 years, and then some of them, it might take us 40 years. But, you know, we want to be bold and we want to be looking forward to the future to make sure that we are, you know, serving the community the best we can. And so, again, this is not a comprehensive list, but a couple examples. So for service excellence, we have repair and modernize the infrastructure equipment, improve operational effectiveness under talented teams, an innovation incubator. We have incredible brain trust here at WMATA, and how do we maximize that to better serve our customers. So for instance, you know, we have great people that are really good at taking data and telling a good story that is digestible for people that are not data scientists. So making sure that we translate that and utilize those resources to ultimately deliver. Regional opportunity and partnership, better bus network redesign, which is kicked off. And that is, you know, how are we maximizing our infrastructure for bus and rail to better serve our customers, both in an equitable way, but also being, you know, fiscally minded and serving more people than we currently do today. And that's also, you know, really looking at travel patterns. No better time than now, coming out of a pandemic when people's travel patterns have changed and have never been the same, with a lot of remote work people, you know, needing service at different times and historically, and also realizing that, you know, in the past we really catered to the 9 to 5, 8 to 5 commuter, and that is not necessarily the right thing to do. And so figuring out how we can maximize that. And then again, in sustainability from a financial perspective, how do we identify dedicated, ongoing, regional, non-fare, non-subsidy funding streams for the longevity of this organization? And also looking at how we can decarbonize Metro. Tina, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I hate to be the only one asking questions, but really, I see on the screen now under regional opportunity and partnership, there is the Better Bus Network redesign, which is still in process. But, you know, when I first joined, maybe a year after I was joined, the bus transformation project was coming to a conclusion. Now, a lot of work went into the bus transformation project, and I don't see any of that mentioned up here. I do see the new upcoming Better Bus Network redesign, and I'm all for that. And by the way, I believe more information is better than no information, or more information is never hurts. On the other hand, are we duplicating ourselves? Or are we stumbling over? Whatever happened to the bus transformation project in? And where does it, where did it fit into what you have in front of us?
So great question. Thank you for your question. And thank you for your ongoing question. You can ask as many questions as you want. The bus transformation project was the study. And now the Better Bus Network redesign is the next step of implementing that study, the results from that study. That's an initiative that's already been kicked off. But yeah, I mean, it's just the next step of that study that has already been done.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Yeah, Phil, I see your hands up.
Yeah, I was wondering when you say fare simplification, how is that gonna work?
Can you repeat?
Fare simplification, how is that gonna work?
Yeah, so it's a challenge. And I think, you know, a lot of these are really bold and initiatives that we are looking to. Fare simplicity, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I moved here, the fare table is very confusing. I think, you know, to people that live here, it's not equitable. And it's a little silly. if we're being honest. And so we're looking at how we can simplify FAIR and one, make it more equitable for the region and just make it FAIR. So like FAIR. But we're looking for that now. And that was actually, they did a briefing at the board meeting a couple weeks ago and will be included in the board budget request too. Mr. Sheehan?
Kimberly, I had a question. I'm kind of referring back to another briefing that I heard that dealt with certain other suggestions going forward as far as strategic planning on the FAIR area. They talked about FAIR simplification, but they also talked about the installation of like a 5-zone system within WMATA.
Yeah.
And there were other things that, you know, that I had heard also, that were turn backs, you know, mm-hmm. at the red, and I think it was, I forget, yellow line or whatever.
Yep.
So this is a little different that you're showing us here. What about the recommendations going forward from that group? Have they been...
So that's all part of it. That's all part of those efforts that you just talked about are part of this. So this, there will be several initiatives or projects, if you will, that will go into simplifying our FAIR policy and affordability for the region. And these are not comprehensive. These are not done. These are not, end all be all type of initiatives like these titles. Okay. These are.
So what I saw the other day, let's say about 2 weeks ago then, was a sort of a subset of this overall plan.
Yes. So if you can think of this plan as kind of the overarching North Star, like the Better Bus Network Redesign, that is an initiative underneath the strategic plan. So like all of the efforts that the organization will be working towards over the next few years will be in support of achieving one of these four goals, but many of them achieve multiple of the goals.
Okay, so for instance, the proposal going forward with 5 zones within the WMATA system, which I don't believe that this group has heard about, how would they learn about something like that going forward as a FAIR proposal? I don't think it's FAIR simplification, but it's important for this group to hear about it so that they know what's on the table.
Right, those were kind of subsets of the budget proposal. So, something that we might not necessarily do in FY24, but ongoing. I'm not totally sure how the agenda gets set. I know you work with Mr. Blake, but
right.
Okay. I think usually what we are proposing to the board, oftentimes we make sure to brief and get feedback from this committee as well as the Writer Advisory Council. I'm not sure where you heard, if it wasn't in this group, where you heard the 5-zone, because again, that's still just, we're still just talking through kind of ideas. We're not actually, putting forth recommendations yet. So that's kind of where we're at with that. But this is just and these initiatives are not meant to be met, in the next.
Right. Okay.
Like some of these will take us years to figure out.
Okay, we will deal with what's in front of us then. Thank you. Good. Other questions? Yeah. Oh.
I have a question, but I can't raise my hand. I have no keyboard.
Okay, go ahead, and then I think it's Steve. And then Doris has their hand raised. So Steve, go ahead, and then we'll do Doris after you.
Okay, thanks. By the way, first, thanks for the presentation and thanks for the detailed slides that you put together. There are a lot of words here, and yet when you think of the objective of WMATA and the mission, it's very simple. It's to deliver regional and local transport services that meet the needs of the community served. And there are three areas: reliable, convenient, and sufficient. And You know, in all of this is, and this, by the way, you know, this, the brainstorming that probably went into this, I'm sure is quite comprehensive, but it all boils down to that. And, you know, and what I didn't see, and I'm sure it might be embedded in the words, you're talking about trusted, great, safe, great, sustainable, safe, great, enjoyable, convenient. But at the end of the day, WMATA is going to get back the riders that they may have lost and add to that ridership if they deliver transport services that meet the needs. And that's the, I think that was one of the, that was one of the purposes of the bus transformation project. Mm-hmm. And Tino, and I guess Doris is not here tonight, but Tino, don't you think that does not go under the regional partnership where it's being shown? I would have put that under service excellence, you know? And so in any case, thanks a lot. But you know, a lot of words boil down to something very simple.
Yeah,
meet the needs. If WMATA can meet the needs of the community served, it's gonna sustain and increase its ridership. And so there we are. You know, I would work to try to, I'm sure this is an overall strategic plan. I would work to chisel this down and then laser in on what WMATA has to do to sustain itself and sustain its rider's base. So thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you for the comment. I think that is, you know, ultimately what we are trying to do and sharing. I mean, obviously there's a lot more details in the sausage making that happens behind the scenes to effectively meet those really simple, because yeah, what we do, I mean, at the core is, you know, we do one thing, is we want to move people and we want to do it well, we want to do it safely, we want to do it efficiently, effectively, equitably, and then, you know, wanted to share with you all the details of how we do that. And it is complex, it is complicated. You know, we have a very big demanding region with multiple jurisdictions, and so to do that is, you know, we need to be thoughtful and appreciate the input from this group to help us do that. Doris, I see that your hand was raised too.
Also, this is the interpreter. Rico does have something to say after Doris.
Okay, thank you.
Did I go now?
Yes,
you're on, Doris. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to kind of augment what Steve just said from another perspective. So I'm looking forward to, and because I found it a little bit hard to follow just with my ears. But I'm wondering, you know, the golden rule, at least that's what I've heard, in public transit is to have sufficient coverage and frequency that meets the needs of patrons. And now I'm specifically talking about public bus service, especially because we know that the metro system is limited by the number of stations and such. So what I'm wondering is if the concept of coverage and frequency, looking at the WMATA compact area, including differences between the three jurisdictions, states, is accounted for in this strategic plan. And of course, how we go about financing all of that, which I assume is.
Yeah. Are you still talking, Doris? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was wondering where I would find that in the plan. Is there a specific section in the plan?
Right. So that's kind of the next step of, you know, once we start to implement the plan is like, you know, how we develop an annual budget, you know, rather than kind of proposing money and figuring out what we can do with it. It's like saying this, you know, this plan is really addressing what we've heard from the community and our stakeholders and what they want and where they see and need Metro to go. And then let's use our funding mechanisms to figure out how we can pay for that. And so it's kind of a two-step process.
Yeah, because I just wanted to say my concern is something that just recently happened with cuts in services and, mm-hmm. and rerouting of routes. For example, in the west end of Alexandria, which touches on Fairfax County and Arlington County, routes, you know, pass through all of those areas. And it's been actually much concerning once these were implemented because bus routes made it easier for consumers to take a bus, like taking one bus or two buses to get from Pentagon into West End of Alexandria, and then connecting to Fairfax buses and such. Has been changed in a negative way by it. So, and that has to do with coordination with not only the needs of the consumers, but also coordination and desires, but also really taking a good look about how the bus network can be most efficient for the consumer instead of making you spend an hour and a half when you could have spent half an hour.
Yes, no, and I appreciate that comment. I apologize. I know that some reroutes have disrupted, you know, some areas of the region. And I think, you know, ultimately there are, you know, trade-offs when we're trying to, you know, meet the needs of the community at large and, you know, maximize our resources that we have, but ultimately, you know, this will enable us to better meet the needs of all of our customers. And so I appreciate that feedback and we'll make sure I get that back to the team for that specific route, you know, is negatively impacted. I do want to be mindful of the time that we have. I know I only have to.
Yeah, let me go to Rico to ask his question. Then Kimberly, I'd like you to finish, get through your slides because we did sort of derail you a little bit.
It's okay. Yeah.
Rico, go ahead, and then we'll have you continue on and finish up. Yeah. See if there's any other follow-up questions.
Rico, thanks. I do have several questions in regards to the bus line.
Okay.
So suppose a person has a dog, not a service animal. I'm wondering, what is the policy, and what would you do? Suppose a person, you know, would you serve a person not have an actual service dog? I've seen service dogs. I know that they are allowed legally, but I'm not sure if you would service someone with just like a pet or a dog.
Right now, our policy is that pets are not allowed on the service, only service animals.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so I know on Friday and Saturday, I've seen this happen twice personally. So I'm wondering what can we do and how, you know, what do we do with the policy exactly? They're not if the bus driver is not following the policy. So exactly what can we do? I'm just curious.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, you know, we at first and foremost, we want our operators to feel safe in their job. Everyone should deserve to come to work safe. And sometimes if they're not enforcing what, you know, a policy is, it may just be a directive of, you know, not wanting to incur any negative conflict that could escalate. And so we do rely on them to use their better judgment. Sometimes that means there are people in society that are not following the rules that are established and it is, you know, then felt by our community. But Yeah, thank you. You know, you can always report that. You can call our customer service and let us know, like, if you're on a specific bus line, and, you know, we can then follow up with that operator.
Yes, I have done that. Yes, I have done that. But I'm just wondering, my concern is, you know, if suppose the dog bites someone.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so, I mean, it puts everybody in not a great situation. Yeah, so exactly. If you feel uncomfortable, you know, I'd recommend if you don't feel safe.
Especially if it's not a service dog or a service animal. So that's my biggest concern.
Sure. Yes. I mean, right. If you feel comfortable talking to the operator and asking.
Why? That's a large concern.
So I would, let me jump, see if we can jump back to the presentation, but if it's, because if it's not a service animal, it should be reported to the, it should be reported, and then we'd have to deal with it that way.
So there is a policy. So I'm just wondering, okay, I just wanted to clarify that there is a policy in what to do, and I should report that to customer service. So my feeling is, you know, what could transpire if something happens, suppose, because it is a safety issue, and it is definitely a safety issue.
Right. And so if you think that there's a infraction, then it needs to be reported up.
Okay.
To bus. All right. Thank you. Kimberly, go ahead.
Sure. So I was really at the end. So this last slide really just talks through, you know, it summarizes what we just talked through. So I really don't have any other slides. Do you want to be mindful of time, but I'm happy to take, you know, one final question, Mr. Sheehan.
Thank you. Thank you, Kimberly. I didn't know we were that close to the end. So that's good. Okay, great.
I see Phil has his hand up, so maybe that could be the last question.
All right. So any last questions, one or two more questions for Kimberly? We are running behind. I do want to get back on the agenda here and get
Chair
caught up.
Sheehan, this is Anu.
Go ahead, Anu. Yeah.
Philip, if your question is related to this presentation, go ahead. Otherwise, we can take the comments during public comments.
Yeah, I was also going to ask that about also enforcing rules on the is there a way you could actually get the rules enforced on Metrorail? Because a couple of weeks ago there is a rule on Metrorail that you cannot play any kind of music without a headphone. A couple of weeks ago I was on the subway and my wife was with me and they were. Somebody was like in the car was blasting a radio the whole time. Mm-hmm. How can those get the? They're going to be able to get these rules enforced on the Metrorail?
Yeah. Again, apologies that Anna. You know, I think over the last few years coming, you know, in the pandemic, it has really shifted how societal behavior on Metro system. And, you know, it's something that, you know, Metro is the fabric of our, and the thread of our community. And, you know, we play a part in, you know, course correcting, but I think this is, you know, just a larger issue that we alone cannot address. Yes, we do have policies, but, you know, we don't have enough staff or, you know, police to be on every single train, car, every bus, every hour of the day to make sure these are being forced. So if you do feel unsafe, I do just encourage you to one, get off, and then two, you can report it to, if you see a station operator or a bus operator, or sorry, a station manager, and then if you see, you know, transit police, you know, and you feel comfortable doing that. Otherwise, you can also, there are numbers to text and report occurrences on our system. But I know that my time is over with this plan, so I just want to thank everybody for your active participation and input. This is really great. I'm happy to have come to this group. And, you know, we'll be coming back regularly as we hit different milestones with the plan. You know, we'll be talking to the board this week. And then we have a public meeting next week. And then in February, we'll have a public hearing and then be presenting to the board for adoption end of February. So we're collaborating with this group going forward.
Thank you very much for a very good presentation. There is a lot in this report for us to chew over. And I think perhaps there are some specific slides, particularly on the metric side, that we can take a look at. Bus rail, and Metro Access to see if we are meeting the benchmarks. But I think there's a lot more to come on this. I think it's pretty comprehensive. Tino, I think as far as the last couple of questions looked like they were dealing with enforcement on bus and rail. Mm-hmm. So that may be something that we want to bring up, the do's and the don'ts of making sure that people are following the rules and also so that people are staying safe. Might be a topic that you want to think about presenting at one of your meetings. All right. Let's see. Next on the agenda, I think is me as far as.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay. So next up on the agenda has to do with my subcommittees. And I have I received a call from Paul, who wants to remain as chair of the Metro Access Subcommittee with Denise as vice chair. And so I would like to go forward with that. Tino, I would like you to go forward as chair for bus and rail, if you're amenable to that. I still have not, I have a couple of people I want to talk to regarding vice chair for bus and rail, but that is my proposal going forward.
Yes.
So, Tino,
do you accept? I'd like to continue.
Good. Thank you, sir. Very good. I don't remember. It's been a while since I chaired this committee, but was this subject to committee approval?
Subject to your approval. with consultation, I guess,
very
with
good.
The committee.
Okay. I don't think that anyone would have any objections to this. Very good. Okay. Paul, thank you for agreeing to chair Metro Access. You do a splendid job. Very good. Any comments? I still need to talk to a couple people regarding vice chair for bus and rail, so I will have that done before our next meeting.
Pat, if I could mention that I had previously suggested Steve Cavan, and at first he was reluctant, and now he's amenable to it, as long as we understand that there will be times when he'll be away on travel. I can live with that.
Yeah, I will. And yeah, thank you, Tino. And I will make some phone calls when Steve gets back, and we'll come up with some thoughts for January. That's good. Or I guess for December. Yeah, we have our meetings coming up. Okay.
Hello, this is Ms. Rush. Is Sandy on the line?
She is. She's here.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. In my mind, I was thinking about discussing with Patrick about you being the vice chair of bus. Are you interested, or should I get it out of my mind?
So sweetly put. I'm interested, but I think I would like to wait a year or so until I understand this process more, perhaps. I feel a little bit overloaded on time, but yes, I am interested.
Sandy, why don't you and I talk?
Sure.
Because we might have a situation here where, Tino, we could bring Steve on as vice chair and have Sandy when Steve isn't there.
That's an excellent
advice. Yeah. Excellent. Sandy, that might work very well. We've got some old timers here, myself being one, and we want to try to get some new people that can step up. And I think working with the subcommittees is a good thing. So, yeah, I would like to chat with you about it and see how you feel about it. I don't want to put you on the spot right here.
But, so I make a suggestion right now? This is Sandy for the interpreter. That for transparency, can we you know, ask for a, are there any objections before saying, here are the chairs, just for transparency's sake.
Okay.
No objections on my part.
Well, what I'm not understanding is, as the chair appoints the subcommittee chairs, mm-hmm. and then I guess we can listen to the
right. Go ahead.
I'm not sure. Is that the procedure?
Yeah, this is Sandy again. So I thought that the whole AAC committee might weigh in and say, sounds great. But if that's not necessary, if the chair overall appoints people and it's a done deal, fine. I just wanted to clarify.
Right.
Chair, well, Sheehan, this is Anu.
Go ahead, Anu.
Doris has her hand up. So whenever you're ready for her comments.
Okay, Doris, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, with my recollection from serving on the bylaws committee, that indeed Rush is correct that the chair of the subcommittee is appointed by chairman of the full AAC, and that's the way. I seem to recall that that selection of second and the vice, the vice and the second vice, was done. At your recollection, Patrick. That's my recollection.
I didn't quite hear the end of that, Doris. The vice and the second vice went.
That the selection of a bus and rail or a metro access subcommittee vice and second vice was done within the committee. That's my recollection.
Right. And yeah, that has been done in the past. That's true. Actually, we've done it a little bit both ways. That's why I asked general committee if there are any objections to the chairs. I did want to talk to Steve and I did want to talk to Sandy, but I was going to do that outside of this meeting. And I think that would be for bus rail. I think that that would be a good way to go. Steve wants to accept that, and then Sandy, you and I can talk and we can see if you would be willing to be second vice chair on bus rail. That would give you some idea of what's going on, and perhaps, you know, take a leadership role in running a subcommittee meeting if you wanted to.
Okay, well, this is Ms. Rush. I do remember that once the chair has appointed or suggested who he wanted for the chair of the committee, the bus rail, and the metro access, then that person asked who they wanted to be their vice chair, and then asked did anyone object to who he wished to be the vice chair. So when Paul became the chair of Metro Access, he suggested Denise Rush, and then asked whether any objections, and that's how it went.
To the full committee?
To the full committee.
Okay. So, Tino.
Yes.
I believe that we don't have any objections. Paul, do you want to ask if there are any objections to Denise as vice chair for Metro Access?
Is there any objections to anyone for Denise for vice chair? I mean,
no objection.
Okay.
Good.
No objection. Congratulations, Tino. Denise.
Thank you, Denise. Tino.
Yes.
How about from your side? You wanted to suggest
Steve.
Steve is
Yes, I would. And he, I had urged him months and months ago, and he declined. But more recently, he said that, assuming I understood that he would be on travel occasionally, he'd be willing to do it, and I would accept him on that basis. I would also accept Sandy as a second vice chair, even though I don't know that during my tenure there has been a second vice chair, but I see no harm in having a second vice chair.
Particularly if Steve is going to travel.
Yes.
Right. Steve, does that work with you?
It does. And in fact, I think we have the best of all worlds in that situation because, from afar, I can certainly, telecommunications is remarkable. And, so that's not an issue. But I think being there and on the spot is, has an importance. And, I'm very impressed with that's pompous. Sandy's comments are laser right on, I have found in my personal opinion. And some of the things, Sandy, some of the things that you say actually make me think about positions that I have. And so I very much appreciated learning from you as well as, being with you and on the committee. I think it might work well, and it would make me feel a little bit less guilty if I'm relying on some good or bad telecommunications during a couple times of the year.
Very good. Very good, Steve. Thank you. Sandy, would you accept that second vice position on bus rail?
Yes. I'll think of it as in training. How about that?
Very good. That works absolutely fine. Are there any objections?
I apologize. Go ahead. Make my comments.
The geographical spread too.
Yes. This is Ms. Rush. With all the all of us work actively for our areas, but Steve, I don't think you've ever been in PG County on a bus, and you really know about the DC buses, but we have DC, Maryland, and Virginia. And so we all need to get into all areas, Virginia, DC, and Maryland. And with the vice chair and the second vice chair, covering some of those areas would be great for the bus rail.
Great.
Sure. May I respond, Ms. Rush? First, I have been on many, many, many occasions on buses in Virginia. Many. In addition, I have, if the University of Maryland is in Prince George's County, I have been on numerous buses, perhaps every 6 weeks or so. So I want to try to allay your concern that because I happen to live, in the center of Washington, D.C., that's my scope because I have personally traveled. And also Montgomery County. I've also traveled in Montgomery County. So I want to try to allay your concern on that my preference is bus wherever I happen to go, and that includes the region too.
Thank you, Steve. Good.
I hope that helps to allay your concern.
Chair,
thank you.
This is Anu. In the interest of time, we are at 6:40. But I also do want to make one quick comment that for the purposes of uniformity, since Bus Andrea is going to have a second vice chair, would you like to have a second vice chair for Metro Access Subcommittee also?
Let me get through this with a second vice on Bus Rail, and then I'll go back to Metro Access and see. Are there any other comments? No other objections? Is everybody okay with leadership for Bus Rail?
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Very good.
Raise my hand yes. about that. Pat.
We have
Doris, go ahead, and then I'll jump to Bus Rail.
We have three hands: yeah. Doris, Philip, Weintraub, and Philippa.
Okay, Doris, go ahead.
I did appreciate Russ's comment regarding jurisdictional representation. If we're second chairs, and although I know Steve rides the bus all over the metropolitan, it's not the same as having to use it every day. Jurisdiction, particularly. So I would, given where I work and where I live, I would feel better if I could get and there are people, other new people.
Doris, I'm having a problem hearing you.
I'm saying newer people. I'm saying newer people, but I'm saying I think it's very important, particularly for Bus Rail, that what it's like to have to switch between Metro Bus and
Doris, and this is Carol Lopez. I'm sorry, but we cannot hear you well enough and the interpreters are not able to hear you. Could you please speak?
I will summarize that I think that it's very important. I appreciated Ms. Marsha's comment about jurisdictional representation, and I think it would benefit the committee for future if we can try to get chairs and if there's a vice chair and a second vice chair to have it one of each of them be from the three jurisdictions, because they would really be the specialists. They ride every day in their jurisdiction.
Right, and thank you, Doris. Right now, as I understand it, Tino is from Montgomery County, Steve is from D.C., and Sandy is from Virginia. Who is up next?
I know. No, that's good.
I know.
That's good.
It's Philip.
Yes, thank you, Doris.
Philip Weintraub, followed by Philippa, followed by Dr.
Go ahead, Philip.
Hi. I was wondering, like Steve Casson said he's actually taking buses in Montgomery County, but I was wondering if those buses are actually Metro buses, not ride on buses, because most of the buses around Montgomery County are ride on. There are a few Metro buses, but most of them are the ride on, which is through Montgomery County Transit. So he needs to be sure that he's like on Metro buses. That's the buses we represent.
Okay, thank you. Philippa?
Hi, I was just going to say, I think Ms. Rush made an excellent recommendation and no objections here, and congratulations, Sandy.
Good. Phil?
Dr. Posner, you're on mute. Dr. Posner, if you are speaking, you are on mute. We cannot hear you.
I'm unmuted now.
Oh, okay. There you go, Phil.
Yes, excellent discussion. I think it's important to point out the role of the chair and the two vice chairs. And we have had either one vice chair or two vice chairs for all of the subcommittees over time, depending upon availability. But the chair chairs the meetings. First vice chair chairs the meeting if the chair can't make it. The second vice chair chairs the meeting if the chair and the first vice chair can't make it. So they're pretty simple. As far as the other things, the committee itself which has members from each of the jurisdictions, including those that ride only buses, those that ride Metro Access, those that ride jurisdictional buses. And they together put together a work plan. And the work plan is something that the chair assigns people to work on. And so you don't have to be first or second vice chair to work on the buses in PG County. You have to be someone who's willing to check out the problems if there are any. Same thing goes for Montgomery County. Same thing goes for Arlington, Fairfax, Loudoun, and all of the other jurisdictions. So it was a very good discussion, but a little bit of the reality is the entire committee should be working, and the entire committee should be representative of all of the jurisdictions. The chair and the first two vice chairs just keep things moving along, keep them focused. And the entire committee, with the focus of the leadership, works on their work plan for the year. And I say that for the Metro Access Subcommittee, as well as for the full AAC.
Very good. Thank you, Phil. So I will, we've had good discussion on the bus rail. I would like to submit Tino as chair with Steve as first vice and Sandy as second vice. Do I have any objections from the committee? Hearing none, we will go with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tino. Going forward with Metro Access, Paul, we have a second vice for bus rail. What do you think? Do we want to talk about a second? Do you want to think about a second vice for Metro Access? One of the reasons why I'd like to consider this is one of the things I promised the board is that we would be growing new leadership. And I think this is a good place to do it. So I know, you know, moving forward, we want to give people opportunities to experience the wonder and the fun and all that we have in the subcommittees where a lot of the real work is being done. So
the real joys of running a Metro Access meeting.
The real joys of, yeah, Paul, as you know. Paul, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but if you want to consider a second vice for Metro Access, I think that would be good.
And, I'm highly open to it and working with that person and maybe letting them run a meeting or two after some, you know, doing leadership training and things like that. Mm-hmm. Any members here that are on call are interested?
I'm looking right now. Okay.
Well, I don't want to put people on the spot. I guess I should ask them privately.
we'll ask them. Yeah, let's see what we can do. Maybe we can come up with a suggestion and we can put that into place in January. All right. Yes.
Mr. Farmer.
Yes, Duan. Yes, Duan.
Because
yes.
I've been doing this since 2008, even though I passionately love doing it. Like Pat, however, we need to groom new people.
That's right. Duan, go ahead.
So I'm in my first year, and I'm only at the moment holding a seat, and hopefully, you know, that will lead to re-election or renomination next term for a longer term. And it may be premature, but I do believe in the idea, as you pointed out, and as Paul just validated, the idea of grooming new people. And I would like to have a conversation offline, since the decision is not being made tonight regarding the second vice chair for the Metro Access Subcommittee with you, Paul. I do not have your direct contact information.
I'll be happy to share that with you and be wonderful and amenable to have a conversation with you along with Ms. Rush.
Right. Okay. That would be great.
Great. Thanks, Dwan. Appreciate that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So very good. And I would say anybody else that once is interested in the highly sought after second vice chair for Metro Access, that'd be good. But I think Paul is correct. I think that it is important for us to be able to groom new people. This committee is far too important. The work that we do is far too important that we need to move on to new leadership. And we don't want the quality of the work that this committee has done over the many years to suffer. So I think this is an important conversation. So thank you for that. Let me jump to my next topic, the Hettinger Award. Anu, can you give us the dates for this, for the nominations going forward?
So Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. We did not have any discussion about the Hettinger Award 2022. This is our first discussion with the committee. Last for Hettinger Award 2021, we held it at the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting in February. And that was held virtually. So depending upon how the committee would like to proceed further, if you already have somebody you would like to nominate in mind, if this is a discussion that the committee needs to have, we can set the dates accordingly.
This is Ms. Rush.
Okay.
I nominate the gentleman who retired last month. Is it Jim?
Jim Hamry.
Jim Hamry, yes. Right.
Because he did a lot. But the new members are not familiar with the work that he has done for transportation, and maybe with a news assistance and our memory and ADA workers, we can write up something to remind, so that the new members can see in writing what he has accomplished for transportation.
Thank you, Denise. So I knew one thing that I would like to do is, first off, we do have a lot of new members on the committee, so they don't even know what this award is all about, who Dick Hettinger was, and what we've done in the past. So I think it would be appropriate to be able to mail out to the membership, what the award criteria is. I'm thinking in the last couple of years, we have awarded that in February. I think that we should have nominations in by our meeting in January. Would that give us sufficient time to?
That would give us ample time, yes.
And, okay, good. So why don't we plan on doing that and then having the award ceremony? I think we did this. Did we do it the first half of the meeting?
We took the first half of the meeting and then we proceeded with further meeting processes.
So I would like, and I think that went over very well. We've done that the last, I think, 2 or 3 years.
Two years.
Okay. So I would like to see us do that. You could mail out the, award criteria.
I would be happy to.
That would be great. And Denise, agreeing with you as far as Jim Hamry is concerned, if we could get a write-up for Jim Hamry, I think that would be great. I've worked with him for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. And head of bus planning, he just was always professional, effective, polite, well-informed. He gave us a very good sense of what was going on. He didn't always tell us what we wanted to hear, but he did tell us what he knew. And he worked with us and really did an extraordinary job. There are, after you look at the awards criteria, you know, and think about other people that you know in the community, we're happy to take those award nominations. We'll vote on those in January, and then we'll have the award ceremony as we did last year, the first half of the meeting in February.
Sounds good.
This is Brush. Other members who have received the Hettinger Award, for the new members, that Paul has received it, Phil has received it, Patrick has received it.
Denise
Rush.
She received it. Oh, yes.
Rush received it. Anthony.
Dr. Posner.
Dr. Posner. How about the one who retired? And also the ombudsman, she has received it. Barbara Melville.
Received it.
I'm getting old. I can't remember the names. Paul?
Who is the ombudsman? And Kathy Hudgens, who is a member.
Yes.
Also has won it in the time that we have been here. And Robbie.
Antonio Stevens, Robbie Worth. So those are some people who have received the Hettinger Award. And we also, if possible, Anu, can we send out to the new members, what is the Hettinger Award?
Yes, Ms. Rush, this is Anu. What I would do is I would send the background about the Hettinger Award to all the AAC members. I would include the criteria for the award, and I would be happy to share some of the accomplishments by Jim Hamry so that they are aware of what he has done during his tenure at WMATA. And I see Dr. Posner has his hand up, so does Carol.
For Jim, I recommend you also talk to Glenn Millis, who has known Jim before he came to WMATA. And he actually worked in Arlington County, has done stuff in Montgomery County, and he's broad. One of the things in the past we have talked about is broadening the field. We do tend to focus on people we know. But someone like Tammy Duckworth, who happens to be a member of the U.S. Senate,
right,
and happens to live in Washington, D.C., when she is serving the Senate, has done an awful lot for getting money
right,
for this to be done. Barbara Murkowski, who's a former senator from Maryland and the chair of the Transportation Committee in the Senate of the United States. And those of you that are members of large disability organizations, for the blind, for the deaf, for various disorders, cognitive issues, et cetera, if there is a national person with that organization who has done great things for transportation. And so open your minds. I think Jim would be great. I like him. But we have a lot of new members representing a lot of different communities. And they do have people that work on transportation, both here in the jurisdictions, but also nationally. So think. Thank you. My time's up.
Thank you, Dr. Posner. Carol, go ahead, please.
This is Carol Lopez. I just wanted to maybe tell you the new members what who Dick Hettinger was and what the award is supposed to commemorate. It's named in honor of Dick Hettinger, who was a chair, Metro Accessibility Advisory Committee chair, and he was one of the people who made sure that Metro had elevators. That was, I believe that he was involved with the Paralyzed Veterans of America. They sued Metro before it was while it was being built, and they made sure that Metro had elevators. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal to give this award or to receive this award. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Yes, it is. I happen to be lucky enough to serve with Dick when he was on the committee. An extraordinary individual who realized that the WMATA way back, when was it, 76, something like that, didn't have elevators and sued WMATA to get them in. So that's why we find elevators in weird places to begin with, but they've come a long way since then. So it's a little bit of history, but it's interesting. Very good. Let me jump to, I don't want my first meeting to run over. So let me jump to bus rail subcommittee.
Chair Sheehan, before we do the reports, if we could do the public comments.
Oh, I was going to do, okay.
Just to ensure we get public comments in.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I jumped over that in my notes here. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yes. Okay. No problem. Do we have any public comments?
We do committee? Have one of the AAC members who wants to give public comments.
Okay. Sandy, very good.
Sandy, when you start speaking, your 3 minutes would begin.
Very good. Thank you. Go ahead, Sandy.
Okay. This is Sandy Newzel. I hope you can all hear me. I'm new to this, and I'm making this public comment to try to get some information into the record. I hope that that's a good way to do things. First, I want to talk about signage. I want to compliment WMATA on the multiple sign formats and the multiple sign locations that they use. They are very helpful. But when I was looking at the signage at Dulles Airport leading to the metro station, it raised some red flags for me and some concerns that signage is not always clear for people who have low vision, limited vision, are legally blind, but do have some vision and can read some signs. So the signs that I'm talking about or first thought about may be MWAS signs, but they are leading to Metro station. So surely Metro has a voice in how the signage works, but I don't know. Anyway, my comments today are more general and they are about both the static and the digital signs within WMATA stations.
Miss Sandy, this is the interpreter speaking for Rico. He was saying a lot of these signage at the airport and metros, did you see, was it closed captioned?
No.
Closed captioning?
No, I did not see any closed captioning on the signs in the tunnel. They were static signs and digital signs. I guess they were all static signs.
Anyway, go ahead, Sandy. Yeah, we're not looking at, we're not talking about captioning in this instance, I think.
No.
Go ahead, Sandy.
So in the Metro system, there are signs where there's white lettering on a blue background or blue lettering on a white background.
I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Rico again. If I was just thinking that if the display or the signage wasn't visibly accessible, I'm also thinking from a deaf perspective, if there's no closed captioning, could we make a note of that? Something that you just mentioned?
Yes, we're looking at static signs though. We're not looking at video signs. Signage, these are static signs. But we would be aware of closed captioning, yes. Go ahead, Sandy.
Okay, so for a person who is using their vision to see signs, that's what I'm addressing here, with limited vision, okay? That I can't cover all bases. I'm only trying to address for people who have low vision, limited vision, reading signs visually. If there's white lettering on a blue, light blue background or light blue on a white background,
there's low contrast, it's difficult to see. If there's a dark, deep red lettering on a black background, and that does happen on some of the digital signs, it's difficult for a person with low vision to see. So I just want in the future to be able to weigh in as signage is put up, to be able to advise, you know, better ways to do signage. Also, I just recently realized there are many overhead signs that I hadn't seen before, because as a low vision person, while I'm walking, I'm looking at my feet. I'm looking at the surface, so I'm not tripping. I'm looking not to bump into people. And I often don't think to look up at signs that are overhead. And I wouldn't be able to see them until I was very close. And looking up, I'm really craning my neck to see those signs. So whenever there are overhead signs, and WMATA does a pretty good job, but to continue to be sure that there are signs at eye level on walls and on pillars or wherever, so that multiple format of signs helps people who aren't going to be looking up over their heads to see signs. Just want to get that in, bring out some points for signage.
Thank you, Sandy. I'll just respond back to that a little bit. You've hit a real good talking point. I was drafted to be on the International Code Commission looking at ANSI standards. And right now we're looking at signage, and we're looking at signage as it deals with low vision individuals. So there are some visual contrast requirements. And I'd love to be able to talk to you more about that once I get a little bit smarter as to what the formulaic requirements are for contrast. It could be that, and Carol, you may know this, I don't know if you do, but this is not so much ADA related as it is building codes. And so it'd be something that I'd like to, I'm going to be learning more about it and ensuring that signage is usable and readable by people with low vision. Carol?
The ADA does play a big part of signage. Mm-hmm. When it's static signage.
Right.
And the ANSI actually refers to WMATA's PID signs, the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
That was on their standard. And then I'm sure that they're going to adopt the new ones that we put in together to put on their standard. And Patrick, if they haven't, you tell them.
Yes, well, that's exactly. We are looking at the American National Standards Institute.
Right, ANSI standards. And they can take pictures of our new signs.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if most of you know, but a lot of the standards are based on what WMATA is able to do, because we're right here for the Access Board to look at what we're doing.
Exactly.
And everyone. And so we have to make sure we cross our I's and dot all our I's. The time, our office is fighting with the industry telling us, oh, everybody else does it this way. And we don't care. We have to do it the way it needs to be done. So
good. So Sandy, back to you. Thank you, Carol. Sandy, back to you. You and I will be chatting, because coming from a low vision point of view, that's exactly what industry is looking to put forward in the building codes going forward. And so your insights would be very valuable. Be careful what you wish for. You might get drafted on an ANSI committee.
You know, if I could make a difference, that would be worthwhile.
Well, we'll talk. And they're looking for people who are low vision, who are interested in signage and making sure it's accessible. So, yes, we'll see what we can do. I think they'd be pleased to have you. All right, that was you. Yes.
This is Anu.
Anu, yes.
We have, I just want to ask if there are any members of the public who would like to make comments, please let us know now. I see that Philip Weintraub has his hand up, and so does Tino. So, Philip, are you trying to make some public comments? Philip? Okay, I think he just
mostly about the electronic signage and a lot of the stations. I know that, like, it's there to tell us like when the next train is coming. But the issue is that it's really what really bothers me about those signs is whenever there's like an issue like elevator hours or something going on wrong with the track or other some other kind of like announcement that needs to be said. It just rather than put another part of the street, it just interrupts the when the next train is and toggles into that message where you have to wait for that message to go by to see the when the trains come again. Is there a way you could like redesign the signs so you can see those announcements and the timing of the trains at the same time? Because especially as people with all like disabilities like autism and other developmental disabilities can sometimes have issues with patience, and then sometimes it's just we don't want to lose our patience because we don't know when the train's gonna come because you keep seeing these toggled announcements and what. So why could you have a way to have the see those announcements and see when the train's coming at the same time?
Tino, go ahead. Anu, go ahead.
Okay, Tino, this is Anu. Before you go, Tino, I believe we do have a member of the public, Amber Woods. She has her hand up. Amber, go ahead, and I will start your 3 minutes when you start speaking.
Currently unmuted. Alt plus
A. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Wonderful. Two-part questions, a little different from each other. I was hearing people how can the public, such as myself, become members of this committee? If there's a way to send out information, that'd be great. And number two, I live in parts of Fort Washington, a part in Prince George's County. And what I've noticed over the years is that some of the bus lines, the ridership might be equal or equate to the safety of accessing bus stopped areas. In fact, I live kind of like where 210 is, and on the opposite end is a road right next to that you call like Friendly Market. It's Old Fort Road to be exact. And people kind of treat it like 210 Junior, if you will. They're going so fast. I even had an O&M instructor that timed the safety. So my concern is for other areas similar to mine, does WMATA look into the safety of like getting to these particular bus stops? Because if that's the case, I would like someone to look into that. And then also too, I understand that they have a grandfathering in a concept. So I like to call it grandfathering out, because most of the people I know are more out than in. And that increasing population are seniors who just maybe became disabled and or persons with a disability now. And they talk about, wow, I'm kind of trapped where I live because there's certain services that are not available to them. So those are the rising concerns that I definitely have.
All right, thank you for those comments. Tino, it looks to me like you have a couple of things on your agenda now. Those are very good
Amber
comments.
Amber talked about grandfathering. I wanted to address that and invite her to come to the Metro Access meeting where Mr. Blake can possibly address that a little bit more at that subcommittee meeting, or you ask your question and we can address it very specifically because I didn't want to take up time tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
And this is, I know, I just want to address her, Ms. Woods' question about AAC membership.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Woods, if you have an email, if you would send an email, this way we get your email address and can provide you with an application to keep on file. The email address is metroaacchair@wmata.com. And I will spell it out. METRO
post attendee accessibility
AIR at WMATA.com.
North dash note.
Okay. Thank you.
Got a little bit of interference here.
Bottom of file. 8:49 AM.
Did you get the email address?
Oh,
I did not. I'm so sorry. I was just trying to get to a place where I could write it down. What was that again, ma'am? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anu, you're on mute.
Thank you, Carol. The email address is metro.
M-E-R.
A-A-C.
L-O-A-C.
C-H-A-I-R.
H-I-R.
At WMATA.com.
W-M-A.
W-M-A.
T like Tom, A. Dot com.
A. Womata. Period. C-O-M.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you.
For the Metro Access
meeting, the next one is December 19th. So if you contact the new, she will give you the Zoom information to join. And we'll add you to the customer comment list, and we can ask that question where it can be addressed by there's plenty of staff there to address it, especially Mr. Blake. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. Let me go to Tino, and then we'll do subcommittee reports.
Yeah, just on signage again, though not blind or quite vision myself, I must say that when I'm in a train, for example, and it's whizzing into the station, sometimes I miss the sign, or sometimes it's, for me, not large enough. I don't think the ADA limits the size of a sign. It may have the minimum size, but I don't think it limits how large it can be. So I would urge consideration for enlarging some of the signage so that the words can fit in and that it's easier to read as you're whizzing by. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino. That's part of what the this ANSI committee is looking at. The Code Commission is talking about signage. We'll probably delve into that over the next 4 months in a pretty deliberate fashion. There are lots of opinions. It's amazing. Tino, since we are on bus rail, why don't we have a subcommittee report from you, and we'll follow that up with Paul.
Sure. The two main speakers at our last meeting in November, Chief Michael Angelo, and also relatively new manager, Paul Bumbry. The chief talked about crime in the station as well as on buses. One thing that I noted in the minutes, and maybe we need some amplification, but he said that the crimes against people with disabilities on buses is 4 crimes per 1 million riders. I don't know how many in total that would be in a year. He said it was 4 crimes per 1 million riders last year. If we could ascertain how many crimes in total that is, I think he said it was about the same number as the year before. But he only gives this 4 crimes per 1 million, and I don't know what the total is. Let's see, Mr. Bumbry, first time we met him, and he's only been on maybe a year, but he did look into the question of whiteboards and whether they were available or used at the station kiosk. Made an informal survey, I guess, and apparently the veterans at the kiosk says that told them that they're very limited usage of whiteboards. And Patrick, I think, said that, well, if somehow they could be shown at the kiosk in some visible way so that people know that they're there, they might use them more frequently. Let's see. He also told us about the new fare gates being tried out at Fort Totten, And I have sent along photos of those fear gates, as well as previously I had sent around fear gates that are being tested elsewhere. It's good to know that fear gates are one of the ways of correcting the problem of fear evasion. It may be that we have to mount new mechanisms onto the brand new fear gates we already have, but that should be done if we're going to really deal with fear evasion in the stations. Of course, that leaves out the question of fear evasion in the buses, so we'll have to deal with that as well. I think that was basically, oh, we also talked about open strollers, and there was some mention made. I'm not sure that it was a formal discussion of open strollers, but open strollers, I think, came up at the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, and perhaps rather than have bits and bad pieces here and there, maybe we should schedule that for an agenda for a subcommittee meeting in January or February.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tino.
Yep.
Questions for Tino? Very good, sir. Thank you, Tino. Paul, Metro right. Access. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Paul Simplefort, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. At the last subcommittee meeting, I was there later half of it, but to my understanding, there was a they needed to discuss open strollers, which on Metro buses, which would normally be done at Bus Rail, but it was done at Metro Access. So at they discussed that issue at length, and what is their permanent policy? And as I'm looking at the minutes here from the meeting, that is to happen, that if essentially if a person with a mobility device boards and it's that seat area priority area is being occupied by a stroller, that the driver is supposed to get that person gently to move to another location. And if that doesn't happen, then there's a whole procedure in place for that. And again, that will be delved into more at Bus Rail. But the next subject that was discussed related to Metro Access service was the new vehicle procurement update. Mr. Blake stated there'll be 50 more sedans added to the fleet. And there is still, you know, we're still, you know, at some point, hopefully we'll get to test the minivans that are on order when they eventually come. So that will be on the agenda for a, you know, rough update on the December 19th subcommittee meeting. The GPS pilot feedback with customer feedback with the Garmins, the director said that vehicles are still to be outfitted with the Garmin devices by the end of the year, which is the end of this month. So I do want another brief update for that because I haven't been on a vehicle yet where I have not seen it yet. For a person who rides it frequently. So I just want to get a good idea of, you know, out of the vehicles of the fleet exactly next month as to how many have been outfitted, you know, by next meeting. Next is there was discussion about the call center technology outage update. We had an outage at the very beginning of November, right after Halloween, that very first day of where things went down, service was not available to be accessed. It discussed, you know, how things happen and what can we do better to service our customers in situations like that. In terms of communication, where, you know, I had to help intervene and saying, you know, are we going to have next day service that hasn't been communicated to customers because reservations wasn't available? And of course, management is always working diligently to hopefully minimize
those experiences, or if it does happen, try to minimize as best as possible the customer experience from that whole outage type of thing. Next, we talked about the Where's My Ride application pilot, and this will continue next month on the agenda because I just sent a revised agenda to leadership, Metro Access Management. Mr. Blake will get more feedback about it. And of course, hopefully he'll give us some idea as to any new tweaks that, based on what he told us last month, and updates that will improve these texts that we get for, projected rides that are coming to us in terms of their arrival. I expect those customers who are in the pilot to give a little bit of testimony. So we'll do that this month. Web booking issues, both myself and another member of the public discussed the slowness of making reservations and some of those issues. And hopefully we will hear an update and or hopefully a resolution to that issue by the next meeting. And that was pretty much it with the revised agenda. So I don't put people on the spot. Ms. Anderson, I would like for you to give a little presentation about inclement weather. I think that's very important. We do that every year, especially in the month of December, and you do it so well. Basically, it would be the same thing that you presented last year, and especially in light when we had some weather surprises in the month of January of this year. And just to remind customers what Metro Access service can do or is limited in doing, and what will or will not be provided, looking at, keeping in mind the safety of customers. And that should be about it. I'm just looking
at Paul.
Yep, thank you. In the interest of your time. Oh, it's 3 minutes left. Okay, that'll be it. Sorry.
Thank you, Paul. No, you're fine. I was just going to ask if there are any questions for Paul.
Chair Sheehan, this is, I know Mr. Blake has would like to make some comments.
Mr. Blake, you've got about a minute. Go ahead. Sir.
I gave you a revised agenda in advance for you to review.
No problem. No, this is something different. So if for any customer out there who've ridden in a newer model vehicle or driven one, if any of you drive, you may have either purchased or been made aware of driver attention warning systems. If you're riding in a vehicle, you may hear the vehicle say to the driver, attention, or stay in your lane, or something to that effect, anything like that. Beginning as soon as maybe tomorrow, we found a way to add that technology to our Metro, to some, not all, about 100 of them won't have it, but to the vast majority of our Metro Access vehicles. So I wanted Metro Access customers to be aware that as you're riding, if the driver, and we hope you never hear it because the drivers are supposed to always be paying attention, but if the driver somehow doesn't demonstrate to this artificial intelligence device that they are paying strict attention to their task of driving safely, you will hear a computer tell the driver, attention. I forgot the exact words, but you'll hear something to that effect. And we just wanted you to be aware of it as we're working as fast as we can and as hard as we can to add safety features to our vehicles that either don't come with them automatically or were before the time. So we've added this technology. It may be live as soon as tomorrow. So we just wanted the Metro Access customers to be aware that that technology is being added for your safety, the safety of the operators, and the general public.
Thank you, sir. It is now 7:29. Appreciate that update, Mr. Blake. It is now 7:29. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
I second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much, committee. We'll see you next month.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Mr. Blake, you always give.